Hope you all got welcomed. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we pray right now. I pray, Lord, for this, for that which you put in my heart that I might impart, share with these people, that we might come to a better understanding of your will and thy will be done. Amen. How many of you, and I'm not saying you're not, how many of you, if you could, would choose to be very, very successful? Raise your hand. Amen. You don't want to be successful, Ty? Look, boy, you're successful just getting that girl to talk to you. But yeah, like it. I couldn't resist that. That was too good a chance.
Oh, me. And we won't even go near Garrett with the other one, you know. Garrett has his parole officer with him this morning. Y'all didn't know that.
That's Gavin.
Gavin, I'm sorry. See? Ruth, where are you when I need you?
See, Gavin, does me no good. Oh, me. All right, let me get back to what... Let's get back to be successful. Last week, we began a series... And basically, the idea that God has a plan for your life. As a believer, He has a plan for your life. And that plan requires that you find and follow God's will for your life. And we're ready to go. Thy will be done. Finding and following God's will for your life. And just, that's really what God wants you to do. He has a plan. And as a follower of Christ, to have real success in your life, you need to find and follow the will of God for your life, not just in general. And it is, and you know, folks ask from time to time, how do I find God's will for my life? It's really not that difficult. It's not difficult to find. It is difficult at times to follow. And we're going to talk about that today. How do I find God's will for my life? Or how can I be reassured of what I'm doing? Well, it's actually in the Scripture. The wisest man that ever lived gave it to us. It's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Look at it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your pathways straight. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? It means with your entirety, with your being. Now, how does that fit the will of God for my life? Well, one of the things you have to deal with, you have to answer a very, very important question. And it's not on our PowerPoint, but that very, very important question is this. Is Jesus your Savior? That's the first part. Or is He your Savior and Lord? Is Jesus your Savior? Or is He your Savior and Lord? We're going to pause just a minute. Now, I dare say the majority of us here would say Jesus is my Savior. I have taken care of that. I ran into a fellow one day, and after he had come to know Christ and he'd been baptized, he went, whew, man, I got that taken care of. My ticket is stamped for heaven. I went, amen, brother. He said, now I can go on and live my life and I've got the Lord. I'm going to live my life and just do what I want to do and do what I have planned and I'm going to be okay because I did like the old black preacher preaching about the fella that had his ticket punched by the king. He's preaching his funeral. And he said he could cross over Jordan. He offered a passage out of the Old Testament where you had to have permission to pass over the Jordan. You had to have permission from the king. He said this fellow had permission from the king and he's crossed over Jordan. Wonderful, wonderful idea. But completely void of what Jesus meant, because you see there's a difference accepting Jesus and getting your ticket set for heaven is merely the beginning of discovering the will of God for your life. It is the will of God for your life that you come to know Him as personal Savior. But you must come to know Him as Lord.
And what does it mean, Jesus is Lord? And most of us as Americans, most of us as humans don't like this because it means surrender. It means that I'm no longer in charge. In fact, the word we like to use in the Bible is servant, but the word actually in the Greek is doulos, which means slaves. I'm not a servant of the Lord. I'm a slave of the Lord. What does Lord mean? That means master. That means ruler. If Jesus is my master and ruler, then I'm not the master and ruler of my own domain. Now, I am over there across the street. I'm in charge. You notice she's not here this morning when I said that. Jesus is to be Lord. And when you begin the process of making Jesus Lord of your life, and that is a big fancy church word that most church people haven't even heard, much less understand, called sanctification. Well, he's very sanctified. What is sanctification? Growing in the Lord. It's kind of like the old fellow said that didn't have a whole lot of education. He said, I'm saved, and I'm getting saveder and saveder all the time. That's the step. Not just Jesus as your Savior, but beginning to make Him as your Lord. And when Jesus becomes Lord of your life, you're going to find that God's will is divided into two segments. God's will is divided into two segments for your life. The first and most important is His moral will for your life. His moral will for your life. Then you're going to discover His personal will for your life. Now, His moral will for your life is based on this. Plain and simple. Biblical obedience. We were studying, those of us that are gathering on Wednesday nights, as we're looking at when God's people pray, one of the reasons that God does not answer your prayers is because you're not living in obedience to Him. And not living in obedience is about like whatever's happened to the organ this morning. Somewhere in the electrical system or something has either shorted out or is not. It's not working correctly. It's not getting through. If you're praying to the Lord about a situation and you are not living in obedience to Him, or you have unconfessed sin in your life, God's going to hear you, but He's not going to answer your prayer. You go, well, that's not fair. God didn't say life was fair. And He's not going to let you live the way you want to and just give you everything you want. He's not like some great big Santa Claus. It is based on obedience. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. I want you to see what it means. The moral will for your life means that I am obeying the Word of God as best. When I say as best I can, that doesn't mean I ignore it. I'm struggling to do it. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Look at what He says. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. That means that when you are saved, you are transformed, you are changed, you are forgiven, and you're not to have your focus on what you used to do. It's not who I used to be. It's who I am and who I am in the process of becoming. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will become disobedient. What God is saying is, look, you can't live a semi-obedient life. Look at them. He says, you once walked in them. Put them aside, He says. Put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. And having put on the new self, who is being renewed. The moral will for God's moral will for your life is that you obey the Word of God. Not the parts you like. Not the parts that you agree with. But that you understand that you have been bought with a price. And if you want to discover God's will for your life, you have to get rid of unconfessed sin. You can't live in disobedience. And we were talking about the other day, there was a fellow that we studied on our God's People Pray who had grown up in a very abusive home. Very abusive home.
He hadn't done anything to deserve what he or his mother had gotten, but he had gotten to be an adult. He'd gotten very, very successful, and he was trying to live his life right in relationship to the Lord, and he discovered that in his life, as much as he wanted to serve the Lord and to be a good Christian and just a good person, he had unconfessed sin. What was that unconfessed sin? He hated his father for how he had treated him. Now, had his father treated him right? No. Did his father deserve his anger? Yes. But this is what he did. He held that. And God kept putting his finger right in the middle of it. That's what God's going to do to you. You're trying to discover God's will for your life. And there's an area of your life that God's not happy with. God doesn't want you dealing with. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's considered wrong by the Word of God, it's wrong. And God, you're not going to discover God's will because that's blocking you from discovering God's will for your life, your personal will. This is His moral will. And you need to understand that. Well, I pray and I'm seeking God's will and I want to do what God wants me to do and I just can't do it. I just can't seem to do it. Let me tell you, go back to verse 5. Look at it again of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's the next one, Robbie. I jumped ahead of you even there, brother. There we go. And I don't know how I have them. We'll get back. But God's personal will, verse 5. Listen to it, what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now listen to the second part. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your pathway straight. Acknowledging Jesus as Lord of my life is understanding that He has a wonderful plan for your life. Surrender, following the moral will of God, being obedient to what God's Word says, not ignore it. Well, you know, I don't agree with that part. We got a whole group of people out there that go, well, you know, I don't like that part. We got the LGBT community. Let's take them on if you want to. Somebody wants me taking them on. I won't try to explain what that is. We got another group. Well, we don't agree with what. It doesn't matter whether you agree with God's Word. I don't like the part where it says I got to forgive people 7 times 70. I'd rather not forgive you the first time you hurt me bad enough, much less from now on. I don't like that, so I'm going north. And then I wonder why I don't have the relationship with the Lord. I wonder why I don't receive the blessings of the Lord and I don't feel about the Lord. But here's what you need to understand. When Solomon wrote this, what he was saying is basically this. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, what if He asked me to give up everything and move to Africa? Here's what you need to do. Talk to some of those people in Africa. I have met and had meals with missionaries. And you know what you'll find with most missionaries? When they're in the States on furlough, they can't wait to get back. You want to get back to the mud hut and the language you don't understand and the mosquitoes and the danger and this and that. And they go, it's God's will for my life. Now, God's not going to just take you and turn you and twist you and make you do a whole bunch. He gave you your gifts. He gave you His Spirit. He gave you His presence. You may very well be following God's will for your life right now. And if you are, celebrate that. Feel good for that. And know that God is with you and there's more that He wants to do with you. But you have to obey the moral will of God. You have to obey Him. And listen, when you have obeyed Him, when you have taken verse 5, that first part, and I trust you, Lord, at the 10th grade, I began to sense the call to ministry. I started getting called preacher boy. Boy, that's fun.
You know, I was already crazy enough. I needed here comes preacher boy. Watch your language. Preacher boy is coming.
I do something to him that probably shouldn't have, but we won't go there. But what I began to do is I dealt with it for a while, and then I went off to college, and I was going to be a lawyer. And it, folks, it was set up. My uncle was the world's authority for REA, Rural Electrification Association.
one of the largest law firms in Raleigh. He wanted me to go to law school. I was his protege. He traveled all over the world. I was his boy. I was going to do it. I was going to be not just like him, bless God, but I had it made. But God had a different idea. You know, like the Apostle Paul, I look back. I've never really looked back. The Apostle Paul, when he looked at his life, he was the Pharisee of Pharisee. He was in line to be the high priest. Saul of Tarsus would have been the high priest. He would have had it all. And he says in Philippians, when I look back on all of that, I consider it all garbage compared to following God's will for my life. And folks, I can say the same thing. I don't know how good a lawyer I've been. Don't know how good a preacher I am. I was laughing with a lady recently, and I think I've told this one before. I was in a restaurant, and I was messing with her, and she said, "Nobody eating with you." I said, "I had three other people eating with me." She said, "But you were sitting alone." I said, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." "Oh, please." Then I said, "But I'm going to need some help paying." And I don't do this. Please, if you've been off with me, I don't ask you to pay for my... You don't have to pay for my meal. I'm not one of those, okay? And I said, "But I need you to pay for my meal." She said, "Why? I'm just a poor preacher." She said, "Now we're talking about your preaching." Shut me up, didn't she? God has a plan. If you will follow His moral will, then you're going to find your life, and then you're going to position yourself to experience Him. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." In all your ways, what does that mean? In all your ways, God, every day I need to wake up understanding that You are the Lord of my life. You know what's going to happen to me today. You know the protection You're going to offer me. You know the difficulties I must face. God, You know it all. So, Lord, I'm going to trust You. In all Your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what does it say? He will make your pathway straight. Every time you and I get out of the will of God is when we screw up and end up off the right. Does that pathway? Does that mean it's always easy? No. It's not always easy. He didn't say it would be easy. But He said it'll be joyful. Now, what do? Seeking Him daily to give you personal direction and strength to follow His individual plan. What's His individual plan? Anybody know His individual plan? Guess what? It's individual. God has a personal, individual plan for your life. And it's to make you a success. It is to help you be what He wants you to be. And what does He want you to be? He wants you to be fulfilled in yourself, but He wants you to be a blessing to someone else. I thank God that some of you are following the will of God for your life because you're such a blessing. But it is when we say, "Okay, I'm going to follow God's partial will. I'm going to try to do the moral part, but I'm still going to do my thing. I'm still going to do my thing." You're never going to discover His personal will. I want to offer you a real warning in Scripture. That's why I've got danger, danger, warning. Any of y'all remember Lost in Space? Oh, y'all did tell how old y'all are now, didn't you? Yay, man. Jenny, you know, No. Russell, you don't remember. You too young. Amen, brother. Ugly looking robot. Remember that thing?
That does not compute.
This ugly-looking robot, but these people that were lost in space would go, "Danger, danger, warning, warning." God's Word does that. You're following His moral will. Okay, Lord, I'm trying to be obedient to Your Word and to the way You want me to be, but I'm going to go do my thing. And God says, no. Let me give you the word that will tell you why it's a danger. Proverbs 14:12. "There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, who understood these words and God gave him these words. Solomon started living for God. And then Solomon decided, you know what? If I'm so smart and so rich, I don't need to live for God. You know, I'm still living for God. I'm still God's chosen one. I'm the king of Israel. I'm the richest man in the world. But I'm going to do some of my own thing for a while, Lord. And it led to his ultimate downfall.
Solomon comes to a point in his life, if you will read in Ecclesiastes where it says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity under the sun. He said, I tried it all. I tried money. I tried women. I tried it all. And I found out that it was all basically worthless to following the will of the Lord. There's a way that seems right. I know that you have plans. Just ask God. And most of the time, let me tell you this. If you will ask God, God, help me understand my plan, your plan for my life. Help me understand it. Most of the time, He's already put it there. Okay? God has a plan for Brett's life. Brett, through his relationship with the Lord, is in the process of, he doesn't know where it's all, of discovering that. So I don't want you to think that when I preach this on the, you know, what God's going to do, He's going to turn you around, you're going to quit your job. No. You more than likely are in the will of God. But God wants you to know more of His will. And He wants to bless you more. And He wants you to understand Him more. How do we stay on track? I want to close this message with, how do you stay on track? How can I stay on track? By following God's will for my life. How can I stay on track? Memorize Psalm 139. Verse 1 and verses 23 and 20. Listen to what it says. If you would do this every morning. I don't do this. I've got to learn to do this. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. Then it jumps down. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. You know, if you would do that daily, you might not always like the feedback God gives you, but you'll be in the center of where He wants you to be. Lord, you've searched me and known me. The psalmist said, you know when I rise up, you know when I... God, you know everything about me. You know everything I'm going to experience today. You know that lady that's going to cut me off in traffic, and I'm going... I'm not Showtime, you know. I speak in tongues, but not biblical, okay? You know that. Lord, you've searched me. You know me. Now, search me and know my heart. Is my heart this morning, is my heart wrong, Lord? Am I mad with my wife? Am I mad with my children? Did I come to church upset about this or concerned about that? And I can't hear the message because I got all this stuff clouding me out. Lord, search me. Know my heart. Try me and know. Lord, help me. Help me deal with what I'm nervous and anxious and afraid of. Last few weeks, I won't go into detail. I've been a bit overwhelmed by some things of the past that could possibly happen in the future. And it makes me afraid. When I look at that lady on the film about acts of God and I see her head where all her hair is falling out from cancer, and I'll tell you, and I know you won't believe I said this, I'll take it, but God, please don't let that happen to my Rose. I sometimes worry about that. I don't know that Rose has it. We don't know. But then I have to say, Lord, that's an anxious way in me, and God will put His finger on it, and He said, I've gotten you this far. I'll get you the rest of the way. See if there be any hurtful way in me. God, is there something in me that I need to deal with that is causing me to be less than the godly man and the godly husband and the pastor and the friend and the neighbor that I need to be? And if there is, God, help us. Let's deal with it right now. That gentleman on that film, success, finally came to the point. He said, I discovered that I don't like my... I knew I hated my daddy. He said he went to his daddy's hospital room. He didn't see him often, and his daddy's there dying. And he said, I just wish I could have told him, but he was too far gone to tell him, Daddy, I forgive you. I forgive you. And he said, it didn't make any difference to my daddy. But for me, it was like lifting 10,000 pounds. Pray that daily. Follow God's moral will first. Do what the Word says. It's not easy. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. To empower us to do it. And if that's 99% of it, his moral will, and then discover his personal will, because I want to tell you, it'll be a journey and a wonderful one. As we come in our time of invitation, do you need to pray that prayer today? Do you need to say, "Oh Lord, search me. Try me. Lord, I'm so anxious, I'm so nervous, I'm so upset over this." And he's sitting right here saying, "Hand it to me. Just hand it to me." Now, I know that's so easy to say, and it is easy to say. People go, "Well, just give it." Don't you love those people who are having a good day and you're going through hell and they go, "Well, just give it to the Lord."
I love those things. As I want to go, "I'd like to give it to you for about 3 weeks. I'll let you take care of it. I'll have your..." No, it's not easy.
But it is fulfilling. You're never alone. Never, never alone. Anxious thought, hurtful ways. What hurtful way is in you that God tried to get you to deal with and you won't do it? And he's saying, "We're not going any further. We're not going any further till you deal with it." Let's do that right now in our time of invitation. Wayne's going to come and lead us. Now, please, 294. Have thine own way, Lord. And however the Holy Spirit leads, you respond. Let's stand together. It's different than in your hymn book. And Robbie, we'll get that up for you. Have we got it? Okay. "Have thine own way, Lord." Can we do that with Mildred, or did we mess you up?